Chapter 6
"You want I should—"
Frauke began.
"Not yet," I said. I was ready for Kinski now, whoever he was. To my team, he was just a scrawny, grinning wretch. To me, he was ablaze from head to toe in lambent psi flame. His big minder, a henobarb, stood ready to catch him the moment he went bodiless. I didn't want a mind fight. I certainly didn't relish the prospect of going up against this one again. But I would if I had to. And I was on the ground now, face to face. He'd find me more of a match. "Let us pass," I said.
"I don't think so. Several of the people with you are armed. I want to know who and what you are."
"Not without some notion of your authority and jurisdiction," I sent back flatly. Kinski pursed his lips. Marshals were closing in around him, weapons aimed at us. Others spread out through the cargo dock and through into the Coragium proper, rounding up the scattering circus workers. I heard weapons discharge. Some more of the poor, loosed animals brought down, I supposed. Kinski reached into a pocket of his grey suit and flipped open a wallet, showing us the official seal.
"Lauma Kinski, Ministry of Subsector Trade, by the authority of the Lord Governor himself."
He used his voice for this, so we could all hear him. I'd heard of the ministry, of course. A soft, bland title for a powerful regulatory body. The Lord Governor's secret police. Not a force to be trifled with. Kinski's presence at Sonsal's house and the way the marshals had deferred to him and his colleagues now made sense. But, as the saying goes, I had one better. The time for subterfuge had gone, or at least had been stolen from us by circumstances. The nature of my operation on Eustace Majoris was about to change irrevocably. I sent a mental impulse into the display mechanism of my chair, and a small flap slid open on its armored prow. A fish-eyed projector lens flipped out, flushed to the smooth bodywork, and glowed into life. I displayed the hololithic version of my rosette. "I am Gideon Ravenor, Inquisitor, Ordo Xenos." It was worth it just to see the look on Kinski's face. The Lord Governor's palace was a bratist tower rising from the side of the gigantic administrative monoliths in Formal A, like a pier of coral from a main reef. Heavy rain lashed through the night as we were escorted in armored vans to the palace undercroft. We all went, myself, Kara, Nail, Patience, Frauke, and Zale. Dubois was carted off into custody by the Departamento Magistratum. Carl and Mathewin had not yet been rounded up, and I trusted they could stay out of harm's way. Kinski, a henobarb and a female in grey, whose name I wasn't told, escorted Frauke and me up to the capped levels of the palace. We left the others waiting in an anteroom off the undercroft. Kinski was clearly nervous. His psi force had ebbed a great deal. It was just a flicker now. I could tell he remembered our clash at Sonsel's house. He'd cut loose there. Now he knew I was an Inquisitor, he was worried how things might go for him. The elevator doors slid open, and we emerged into a high hallway lined in wood veneer and beam lighting. At the far end, more doors opened into a wide, softly lit apartment, whose tint-glass windows overlooked the entire western part of the hive.
"Wait," said Kinski, and the three of them withdrew, leaving me alone with Frauke.
Frauke wandered across the room between armchairs and settees and opened an inlaid box on the writing desk under the windows. He took out a low stick, a more expensive brand than the one he smoked, and lit it.
"Should I contact the Ordo here?" he asked.
"We'll see," I said. A man walked in from a side door. He was dressed, like Kinski, in soft grey murrey, and was slender, with a chin beard and tied back black hair. The third man from Sonsel's house, the one with the power. Not power like the Psyker, real power.
"Good evening, Inquisitor," he said,
bowing slightly to my chair. He ignored Frauke, which seemed to suit Frauke fine. "Good evening," I replied, using my vox ponder.
"My name is Jada Trice. I am First Provost of the Ministry of Subsector Trade. I would like to start our conversation by apologizing for any unpleasantness this evening.
Unpleasantness?
At the Circus Carnivora. You found yourselves caught up in a routine crime raid.
A routine raid?
I thought you were responding to an altercation in the cave.
Trice shrugged. He was handsome, and immaculately groomed and manicured. A real operator.
I noticed he had one brown eye and one blue. There was something else about him.
An essence. A hint of something I was desperate to put a figurative finger on. But at this stage, under these circumstances, it would have been rude to probe, however discreetly.
Our raid has been planned for several weeks, and we'd brought in sections of Magistratum and the PDF. Fairly major scale. The Carnivora is a hotbed of crime and smuggling. We were intending to move in towards the end of the night, but the altercation, as you put it, forced our hand. I understand this altercation was set off by your own investigation.
I had reason to examine the circus. The criminal elements objected to my interest.
Trice smiled. Can I get you a drink? He asked.
A little malt lick with a shaving of ice, replied Frauke, helping himself to another low stick. Trice looked at him. I don't, I said, but please indulge my companion. Trice fetched Frauke's drink from a stand on a sideboard and poured himself an amasek.
The Lord Governor was most upset to hear that an inquisitor had been caught up in tonight's operation.
I'm sure.
He extends his best wishes and asks me to offer my services to you.
Trice handed the drink to Frauke and looked at me. Like everyone else, he was put off by the unforthcoming nature of my enclosed chair. He sat down, facing me, and swirled the amasek in his balloon.
The Ministry of Subsector Trade is a newly created body. I don't know if you're aware of our purview.
I am, I said. I'm very familiar with the writings of the Lord Governor. A perceptive man, a reformer, an innovator. His election to office last year was a thing to be welcomed. I meant what I said. Oscar Ludolf Bazaran, who had been in his time Hive Mayor, Senator Plenipotentiary and, since 400.M41, Lord Governor of the Angelus Sub, was an erudite and forward-thinking politician whose reformist attitudes I much admired. Given the segmentum-wide trend for such offices to fall to underachievers via nepotism and birthright, Bazaran's election seemed like a miracle of liberalism. Generally, stagnant men inherited control of stagnant subsectors, and thus further stagnated them. The ministry had been part of his election platform. He had wanted to create an active, sharp-toothed instrument that would oversee the workings of imperial bureaucracy on Eustace Majoris and beyond. Clean them up. Cut the crap. Reform was not wide enough a word.
I'll pass your comments on to the Lord Governor, Trice said. He'll be flattered. He is an avid student of your own work.
I had written a few things, a number of treatises, an extended essay or two. They had been well received. If I'd had a visible face, it would have been blushing.
He is troubled, however, Trice went on. His central doctrine is openness. Clarity.
Full disclosure, I remarked.
Quite so. And yet, you chose to operate on the capital world clandestinely.
Frauke snorted. Trice looked round at him, and he raised his glass.
Don't mind me, he said.
I'm sure, I said. The Lord Governor is not unfamiliar with the workings of the Inquisition. Our success in preserving the purity of mankind relies entirely on our unquestioned power. The Inquisition does not have to ask or obtain permission. It may look where it wishes and do what it wishes. It is the most absolute power in the Imperium of Man, save the God Emperor himself.
Oh, quite, said Trice,
swirling his drink some more. I noticed that he had not touched it, keeping his mind sharp.
There is, however, an inference that you did not inform the Lord Governor of your activities here because you suspected the authorities as well.
Of course I did. No offence to the Lord Governor, but Corruption is everywhere. Is that not why he created your ministry, Provost Trice? To clean the house from the top down. Consider me to be cleaning from the basement up.
May I inquire the nature of your investigation?
He asked. You may. Prompted by my Ordo Masters, I have undertaken an investigation into the nature and origin of the addictive substances known as flects.
Trice frowned. Narcotics are a magistratum matter. And smuggling.
The flects are not narcotics, Provost. Not in the chemical sense, whatever their characterizing traits. They are most definitely xenos in nature.
Xenos? He breathed, uneasy.
They are artifacts. Tainted artifacts. Their abuse has spread, these last 2 years, down through the Angelus sub, into the Helicon sub, and the Ophidian too. All signs indicate the root of that trade is here, on Eustace Majoris.
Trice got up and set down his untouched drink. We are on the same side, Inquisitor.
I'd hate to doubt it, Mr. Trice. He smiled at me.
I mean to say we are aware of the flecked problem. It is rife here. We know we are the source of it.
The fact pains the Lord Governor greatly. It is consequently uppermost in my ministry's list of actions. Tonight's raid on the Carnivora was part of our ongoing war on flecked distribution. You had identified the circus as a source. He nodded. At last he took a sip of his Amasek.
The Imperial pits are a focus of contraband crime on many worlds, Inquisitor. The staff has powerful contacts with rogue traders and commercial outfitters, all licensed to import Xenos breeds on planet for the games. It is an obvious source. A trader imports a Snarlcat from Rigion for the circus, under license. What else does he bring in the Snarlcat's cage?
Grinweed. Gladstones. Fetamote thrill pills, baggy packed into the animal's intestine.
And flects, I said. The ship traders and outfitters are moving flects through the circus businesses. Through other outlets too, I'm sure. Wood. Metals, weapons, perhaps. But the Imperial pits are key. They have the most open trade permits, necessarily, to cater for the creatures they bring in.
He nodded again, sagely. There was a click-clacking sound. By the desk, Frauke was trying to light another low stick from an ornamental desk igniter that refused to spark. He became aware of us staring at him and put the igniter down.
Sorry, he said, and pulled a matchbook out of his jacket.
Trice looked back at me.
You detained a man tonight.
His name was Dubot, chief handler man at the Cave, a dealer.
My ministry had suspected as much.
I'd like him returned to me for questioning.
Of course.
Trice smiled, as if anything else was unthinkable. And I'd like to continue with my work, unimpeded.
Trice nodded. I have a request from the Lord Governor. He asks that we pool our efforts.
How so?
We have information that may assist you. You have the force of the Inquisition behind you to empower it. I have to admit, Inquisitor Ravener, my ministry, for all it is newborn and fresh, is hard stretched. We would like to combine our efforts with yours and close off the flecked trade at source.
I slid my chair a few centimeters forward towards him. Your information. Try me. Trice pursed his lips.
Our investigations have shown that Dubot's source was a game agent from the outworlds called Fever Sko, one of a famous dynasty of Xeno hunters. Sko operates from a rogue trader called the October Country, captain of which is one Kizari Thekla. The country runs the lanes up through our sub to Flint, Letspar, and beyond, sometimes as far as Lenk, every half year, to buy choice stuff from the beast moots there. Sometimes they go on into Lucky Space, so that Sko can hunt for himself on the Ripwelds up there. We believe they're sourcing flects, maybe from the moots, maybe from Lucky Space.
Trice, why are you telling me this? I asked. In the spirit of cooperation. Full disclosure, he said. And? He knocked back his drink in one tug. The October country broke orbit 50 minutes ago, without permission from ground traffic. Its last vectored course was up the line to Flint. Nail, Kiss, and Kara were waiting for me on the palace pad. Zale was hanging back behind them, and they had Dubow in manacles. As the dropship came down out of the night on columns of spitting flame, I rolled out onto the pad to join them, Frauke at my side. Behind me came three figures in soft grey cloth suits, their crew bags slung over their shoulders. Kinski, a henobarb, and a female called Madsen. Nail looked at them. "Who the hell?" he breathed. "Say hello," I replied. "They're coming with us."